Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every single Warriors playoff game, KGMZ-FM and HD1, and KGMZ San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. 95.7 The Game, live and local. Now, it's Rick Tittle on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, my night peeps. Let the manhole lids lift up. Let the garbage skip open upon itself. Where is you at with bad grammar? What you got? It is 11 o'clock at night. The Warrior Parade was this morning. Did you watch it? Were you in it? I was in it. I was walking. The 95.7, the game truck drove by. And I said, it's okay. Me and JD will walk. Thanks for the ride. But I would like to get your impressions of the parade and just the feelings you had for the parade, what you think about the future, what you think about this team. I've got a lot to say about it. We have a full hour. So get on in and get yourself heard right here on your home of Warriors basketball, because you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the 2018 NBA champions. 888-957-9570, PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795. So this year, the parade was a little bit different. There was going to be no ending spot in front of the Henry J. Kaiser Convention Center, which, by the way, was going to be the original site of the Coliseum. That would have been cool. But last year and in 2015, of course, we had the parade there and lucked out with great weather once again. And it always, I always love showing off Lake Merritt too, to an audience that doesn't know Oakland or just thinks of Oakland and as far as a rap sheet and does. It always shocks people when I tell them that there are way tons more better neighborhoods in Oakland than there are in San Francisco, which blows their mind. I go, not even by a little bit, by a lot. You know, it's like even the best neighborhoods in San Francisco, you're going to freeze. You're going to be glued next to another house and it's just going to be noisy. And so I like showing off the lake, and not too many towns have a downtown lake. I mean, what, Hamburg, Madison, Wisconsin. So it's good to show that off. But for me, a lot of emotions as I was walking down Market, and I was walking behind Steph's bus because he had the best exhaust that I wanted to breathe. And as a third generation East Bay guy, you know, you go by City Hall, which is on the left. When that was built, that was the tallest government building west of the Mississippi. President Taft cut the ribbon on that. My great grandfather, who is a stained glass maker who came from Germany, he did the stained glass in St. Elizabeth's. He did the one in the King's X before they ruined it and made it the Kona Club. But he was there for that. He wasn't hanging out with Taft. They weren't peeps. His English wasn't very good. Taft, that is. No. So my roots are pretty deep. And I was thinking about that. And I was also kind of thinking in a melancholy way about how we might not have very many chances for parades in Oakland. We have a chance for one more next year with the Warriors. We only have one more year of the Raiders. We're not going to get one next year, as much as I'd love one. The Raiders still have a horrifying defense. I would love to be wrong about that. I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs, much less have a parade. That would be great if I'm wrong. The A's are a little ways away. So, and then I was thinking about just being a Warrior fan my whole life. And they won the NBA championship when I was 10, and it was a different world of sports back then. Not every game was on TV. There was no cable. We were force-fed everything. You know, Tom Green, the comedian, says that Kids today have never been bored in their lives because they just look at their phone. You think, if you're 18 and you think you've been bored in your life, you never have been. Because as Tom says, I used to go outside and say, look, there's a shiny rock. I'll put it in this shoebox with the other shiny rocks. So that was 1975 when they won. And where was I? I think I was 10 years old. And then for the next 40 years, how many years were fun? Five, couple of run TMCs, the year that George Karl came in after a 10-year gap in playoffs, took him to the playoffs and beat the Jazz, and then Sleepy Floyd had that great game against the Lakers, and then that was it. That was like winning the title for us Warrior fans back then. And then We Believe. I mean, that's basically it. Other than that, the Warriors were a doormat, a joke. They'd never be good ever again. It's just not possible. And that's why Steph Curry said himself that in the draft, the Knicks were the next pick, and they were just praying, please, let's go to the Knicks. Well, Manhattan, the Knicks, they're not that far away. It's a, you know, Madison Square Garden. And the Warriors pick, because you think, well, the Knicks, they have a chance to get better. I mean, they're the Knicks. The Warriors will never get better. they're a lost cause. I mean, so you could see why when Steph got drafted by the Warriors, he's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Well, everything changed under the Lakob ownership group. And don't look to me to run a basketball team, because I was against hiring Mark Jackson because he had no experience, but he did get him to play defense. And as dysfunctional as he was, two assistant coaches getting fired, one of them for recording a meeting. Talk into this carnation in my lapel. The overt religiosity at times, that shakedown case that the FBI came in, but at least the Warriors made the playoffs. And so then he wants to hire Steve Kerr. I'm like, you want to hire another guy that's never coached? Yeah, you know, and then, of course, it worked a charm. And then Bob Myers is the GM. I'm like, Larry Riley, he drafted, I know he's Don Nelson's boy, but he drafted the Splash Brothers. And now you're going to take a former agent who's never done this? And then you're going to, you know, Joe Lacob's son, Kirk, who was working with the Dakota developmental team. You want to use these guys? And I was wrong about that. Bob Myers has been a dream and executive of the year. Everything they do, if Joe Lacob should just ask me if I'm for it or against it. And if I'm against it, he should definitely do it. I was against trading Monte Ellis for Andrew Bogut. See, it keeps going. It keeps going on and on how I'm wrong. I thought, man, the Warriors finally have an exciting player in Monte Ellis, and you want to trade him for a tall guy who had microfracture surgery on his knees? Because I was so sick of the Don Nelson obsession with the big man, the big man. Let's get Sean Bradley. Let's get Ralph Sampson. Like, oh, just, it never ended. So, I'm not one of these guys who, and there were a lot of people who said, oh, the Lakers are my playoff team. I'm like, are you kidding me? I despise the Lakers. I still do to this day. Every loss, I get a nice warm feeling of Schadenfreude. Genau und richtig auch. Schadenfreude. I get it when the Lakers lose. I'm not going to pull for them. And I understand people, though, because the Warriors were never in the playoffs. They weren't even ever in the All-Star game. When did we go from Sprewell to David Lee? That was like 100 years in between All-Star appearances. And for me, when my team's not in there, it's not as fun. You go, hey, look, it's Michael, and it's Larry Bird with the milk stain, Martin Mole mustache. I'm like, ah, great. You know, or these Irish guys. Oh, I root for the Celtics because they have a shamrock. Okay, well, I'm not Irish. I can't help you there. It's just, to me, is the Warriors are nothing. So the fact is that I'm walking in a third parade, and believe me, it's a privilege as someone who grew up here. I've never worked in any other market. I wouldn't work in any other market. I have no desire to ever work in any other market. Maybe I don't have the ambition, but no, it's here or nowhere. I'll do something else. It's here or nowhere. So to walk in that parade, I was soaking it in. And it did make me melancholy to know that we get one more chance in Oakland. Now, when they move to San Francisco, if they win one over there, if they'll do it over there, obviously they'll probably go down market like the Giants. I don't know, maybe they'll go down third to the stadium. I don't know what they're going to do. But, and I said, maybe there'll be a parade next year. It just amazes me the people, the not one, not two, not three. It's very hard. Now, of course, when you sweep the team in the finals, you're like, Rick, it's not that hard. The Warriors lost 12 home games this year. And then we hear David West saying, you guys don't even know what happened behind the scenes. And it's like one little thing can change everything. Look at the Cavs. And all of a sudden, Kyrie doesn't want to win a ring if it's with LeBron. I got to go somewhere else. All the time, the egos get frayed. And we always think the good ship, you know, lollipop. It's like, oh, the Warriors, there's no egos there. Oh, there are egos. It's just that they all seem to get along, which is amazing. And that's the thing that I love about Steve Kerr, because it's not just about X's and O's. Because you look at a guy like Eric Musselman. Are you telling me that Steve Kerr knows more about X's and O's than him? I'd probably say they're even at best. There's more to life when you coach professional athletes, and especially in the NBA, you know, where everyone has, you know, there are no helmets hiding your face or baseball hat. Everyone sees you, and it's a league of stars. I think I'm in the minority that I just like a team and whoever's on it. Everybody else is like, I'm a LeBron fan, I'm a Steph fan, I'm a Kobe fan, whatever team that guy's on. I mean, the NBA probably has more of those fans than anyone because they love the stars. And to know what buttons to push. Did you see Steve Kerr with Quinn Cook, that video? And just, you know, it just almost brings tears to your eyes and just saying, to paraphrase, you know, like, congratulations, you earned this, you earned your spot in the NBA. You helped us win playoff games. I can't wait to coach you next year. I love you. Do you know how that would sound coming from Eric Musselman? They'd go, and they'd go to the front office and say, we want him fired, like they did. No offense to him. It's just so hard. And I don't think you can learn that. I think that's innate. And it comes with experience. And when I worked 10 years in TV, we had this boss. They sent him away twice to people skills camp. And he came back and he said, we're all getting drinks together. And we're like, no, we're not. And he's like, I'm giving everyone a special star. If you did good today, you get a star. I go, I'm not in kindergarten. I don't want any of your stars. You can't teach a guy how to know how to push those buttons. And then the respect. Because you can have all those skills, but you never played. And he's got rings. And he played with MJ and for Phil and for Pop. And so when he says something, You got the experience and the respect behind it. It's a perfect mix. All right, we'll take one more break. We'll go the rest of the way until midnight. Warrior fans, where are you on this parade night? We got about 48 minutes left in this parade day. Let's hear from you. 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com. Text line 95795. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on your home of the Warriors, the world champs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Rick Tittle Show on 95.7 The Game.
Soy el fuego que arde tu piel.
All right, enough of that. Thank you very much, Wes Castillo. All right. Little Narcos there. It's 11:18. Give me a break. Give me a break. That Van Halen song. Come on, Dave. Give me a break. One break coming up. Lionel in Fremont. You are on 95.7 The Game, my friend.
Hey, what's up, Rick? Late night with Tittle.
What you
love
got?
Love it. Yeah, I just heard you talking before you guys went to break, you know, and cherishing this moment as a Warrior fan. I mean, I'm definitely not, you know, not in your age group, but, you know, I'm in my mid-30s, and I just remember the Warriors just being nothing. I mean, literally just nothing. You go out of the Bay Area, no one even knew who they were or what players were even on the team. And you're right, all we really had was, you know, Run TMC, which really was only like a 2 to 3 year run. It wasn't as long as people make it seem. And then we had We Believe, which was like, I mean, it was just our luck. We go in 40-40. And then we win 49 the next year, and, oh, that's not enough, you know, because all these other teams win 50. So it's just the Warriors could never catch a break. Every trade just didn't work. Everything was just a disaster. You know what I mean? And it's just awesome to finally be on top. You got to cherish it. I mean, I have two sons myself, 17 and 11. My 17-year-old kind of understands it because he went through the rough years. And my 11-year-old, he's just, you know, he thinks, we'll go to the parade next year. I mean, I went to the first two. I didn't catch the day. But, we'll just go next year. But I have to explain to him, like, this doesn't happen on a regular, you know what I mean? Like, this, it isn't just a normal thing. Even though it seems normal to the younger generation, this thing can end quicker than what we realize, you know? So you got to cherish every moment of it. I think, if anything, on the middle, towards the end of this run, I hate to say that. We know this ownership has some tough decisions to make. I think that's why they're pressing to do those extensions, which I like, by the way. I mean, of course, everyone wants to keep these four together, but, you know, the management's like, hey, we need to know what you guys want to do. You guys want to get paid, or you guys want to keep rolling with this thing? So I know I see both sides. If Trayvon and Clay don't accept the extensions, I totally understand it because, you know, you're missing out on millions. But I do understand if they do accept it because they're basically, you know, saying, hey, let's keep this thing rolling. But either way, as a Warrior fan and in this offseason, you got to cherish it the most because, like you said, I highly doubt the Raiders are going to give us a parade in Oakland. Most likely it'll be in Vegas. And the A's are light years away. I hate to say that. I mean, I wish the A's would do some. You've seen how they went up against the Astros today, and they got some work to do. I mean, they're on the uprise. They're on the uprise. But
all right, Lionel. Please, all right, Lionel, I appreciate the call, man. And as I said, whenever you want to call me up, the lines are available. And if you're out there, you want to chime in. Rick Tittle with you here, 95.7 The Game. We'll take you till midnight. And 888-957-9570. We're talking a little Warriors parade, but also football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, quarter trollball, chess, checkers, rugby, cricket, that type of stuff. 888-957-9570, PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795. From the 408, Tittle, you sound drunk. Never heard that before. If I'm drunk, I'm drunk on Red Bull is what I'm drunk on. I don't drink and then go to work. That'd be a very bad bad recipe. I think the only time was a couple years ago when I was doing a day show with Dibs. There was some sort of celebration at the office over at the old studio, and the PD came in and handed us each a can of Bud. That's about as close as I've got to drinking on the air. All right, and as Lionel pointed out, if Clay wants to leave, he'll make about $80 million more, and that's nothing to sneeze at. I remember when Juan Uribe, when he left the Giants, you know, they win the World Series, he's a shortstop, and the next year he goes to the Dodgers. I think they offered him $5 million, and the Giants offered $4 million, and people were like, I can't believe how greedy that guy is. It's only $1 million. I'm like, take a step back and say that out loud again. There's no such thing in the world as only $1 million. That's $1 million. Of course he's going to take that. He's not stupid. So how does Clay leave $80 million? $80 million on the table. But here's the other thing. I'm not really interested in who's signing extensions. I know that's a lot of people talking about who's leaving, who's Listen, here's the facts. You're going to have Durant and Steph and Dre and Clay, you know, barring any health issues, together again one more year. Let's play that year. Let's do that. Let's play that year. One more year in Oakland, one more year with the band together. Then we'll worry about who's leaving and who's going and who's maxed and who's not. You know, this whole thing about, oh, Looney is leaving. I wouldn't blink. If Looney left, do the Warriors need him? He's a nice little player. And I give him all the credit in the world being an afterthought, really, in camp. You think, oh, my gosh, all the centers came back. West didn't retire. Zaza came back for another year. No one paid JaVale. He's back. Oh, they drafted Bell. Oh, look at Boucher. Oh, Damian Jones is ready. There's no room for Looney on this team. And look, he's starting playoff games. I give him a ton of credit. I really do. But you think I'm going to throw tons of money at Kevon Looney? And then maybe at the expense of not keeping somebody better the next year? Looney made himself a lot of money somewhere else, and he deserves it. So when Looney takes the money someplace else, that's smart business for the Warriors. Just trust me, even though I'm always wrong on this. I'm not even going to blink when Kevon Looney leaves. And the people so desperate. Oh, you have to keep him. No, you don't have to keep him. It's like, oh, we don't have Iguodala for the playoffs. It's like if you're crying about not having your fifth best player, you're talking to the wrong guy. Do you need Iggy? Yes. Do you want Iggy? Yes. But I don't make excuses for pro athletes. Or teams. You either win or you lose. I don't want to hear who's hurt and who's healthy.
So what's a big part of it?
Okay, well, fine. But did you win or did you lose? That's it. Miguel in Oakland. What's up, my man?
What's going on, Rick? I'm listening to your show, and I completely agree with, like, the whole contract situation going on right now. Yesterday, Michael Thompson was on with Bob Advante saying that he advised Clay not to renew this year. He's going to wait till next year to renew. And I also saw Draymond said the same thing. He's going to play out his playoff this year and then now renew till next year. Because I guess he got some chance extensions in his contract that says if he gets MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, or first team All NBA, then he qualifies for a Supermax. And I'm okay with both of them waiting till next year to play out their contract. You never know. I mean, if Draymond doesn't get any of those incentives that he hits, I mean, we might get him for cheaper than what we could expect if he does get those incentives. Clay, kind of the same thing. I mean, Clay's always said he doesn't really care about the money. He's always just wanted to play ball, which I'm a big fan of because, I mean, those core four guys are important. And if Clay's saying that he's willing to take less money or take a little bit of a cut to stay around and help us win, then I'm all for that. KD, of course, is going to get paid this offseason. Draymond, we'll see how the fuck ball with him. As far as, like, Kevon Looney, like you said, man, if he leaves, then good for him. He deserves to get paid. But, I mean, a lot of people, we can stick around to afford him. A lot of the players that we have on our payroll are aging players. I wouldn't expect Zaza or DeVito to even stick around. I mean, I'm sure we'll pick somebody up. There's always new names coming into the team, and I'm sure next year will be just as great. As long as the core four and Iggy and Sean Livingston stay healthy throughout the year, then I don't see why we can't make another big playoff push or even have another play next year, man.
Thank you very much for the call, Miguel. It's Miguel in Oakland. Really nice points he made. And the number to call if you'd like to get in at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795. I think a lot of times, we're listening to sports talk and people are acting like Dre and Clay are free agents now. If they were, then yes, that would be the number one topic. Who's staying? What are we going to do? Guess what? They're not free agents. They're in walk years. And yes, it's something that is on the stove, but it is the back burner. Can we not just enjoy this last year in Oakland when no one that is of import is a free agent right now? And as Miguel said, I'm glad for Looney. Look, when you win a title, people pluck you off the roster. Al Davis gave Larry Brown all that money. You were in the Super Bowl. You intercepted Neil O'Donnell when he threw the ball right to you twice. You know, the Yankees were like, we want Mike Gallego. He backed up Walt Weiss. You can have him. You think Matthew Dellavedova is worth the $38 million the Milwaukee Bucks gave him? No. But he was on a world champion Cleveland Cavalier team. And so everyone saw him, and he's like, hey, the Cavs won the... Let's get that Australian kid from St. Mary's. And I, you know what? I'm happy for Deli as a fellow Gale. I'm happy for him. $38 million? I remember when he signed the offer sheet before the Cavs even had a chance to match. LeBron said, I'm happy for Deli. I hope he has a great time. He earned it. Which is what his way of telling, who was it, Griffin at the time? It was his way of telling him, yeah, don't match that offer. Go ahead and skip that one. So, yes, it happened with Ian Clark. You know, oh, weren't you on the Warriors? Oh, we want guys who are on the Warriors. It happened with Harrison Barnes. Is he worth that money? Hell no. But I'm happy for him. I think Harrison Barnes is the kind of guy you want your daughter to marry. And not because he's rich. He's just a great guy. He's a great guy, and he just happens to be a world-class athlete. I'm happy for him, and I'm also happy he's not on the Warriors, or there'd be no KD right now. 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com text line 95795. From the 510, Rick, why did everybody have their shirt off today? Because they're ripped and they have six packs, and I would have done the same thing. Did you see Jordan Bell? The guy looks like an Adonis. The only time I was in shape when I was a college football player, I still didn't take my shirt off because I would burn since I'm an albino. But if I looked like that and there were like literally a million people looking at me, you bet your bottom dollar I'd take my shirt off too. So if you're wondering why they took their shirts off, it's because they're ripped. It's not like Bartolo Colon went out there and took his shirt off. It's not like Sebastian Janikowski took his shirt off. Then I'd be saying, like you, why is everyone taking their shirts off? Because I'm with you. Now, the crowd, as I was walking behind Steph's bus, and as I said, it was different this time. They wanted it to be more interactive. I don't really know how that worked. And I'm not trying to poo-poo anything. I will tell you, though, that I like the old parades better because those old parades moved. And when they moved and you got to the end and you heard speeches and there were jokes and Draymond, where my rook, gets Kerr in a headlock. Everybody's sitting there. They get up. They get a chance to speak. And maybe it runs a little long and it's a little hot in the sun. But I preferred that than having like a really super slow parade and then everybody's gone. But like I said, it was still great. I'm not trying to say it wasn't great. I know a lot of people said, oh, this way is way better. I disagree. I like the other ones better, where you get a chance to sort of everybody kind of congregates and you kind of cool out and you listen to everybody in person. But, you know, they just tried something different. Maybe it was cheaper. We know that it's expensive. I think the Warriors, what was the story? It kicked in over like $700K. Look, there were cops from all over the place. I was walking by. I was seeing the patches. Of course, OPD was everywhere. You down with OPD? OPD, yeah, you know me. There was Newark. There was Fremont. I saw El Cerrito police as well. And I can tell you this, and I never really noticed before, but cops are more tatted than NBA players. And that's that's hard to do. I don't think you're allowed to be a police officer unless you have up one arm, at least three verses of scripture. You have to have like Deuteronomy and Numbers on your left arm, and then you have like a letter from Paul to the Ephesians on your inner thigh. But anyway, just an observation. So it's expensive. Maybe this way it's a little bit cheaper. PenskeAutoSales.com text line 95795. From the 925, I think the Warriors core four is smart enough to realize what they have. I think they play this thing out for as long as they can. I think so as well. I hope you're right. But if it really does come down to Clay leaving $80 million on the table, you just can't do that. I don't care how many rings you have. $80 million? Now, we did see Gordon Hayward leave a significant amount of money. What was it, like 40 mil by not signing with Utah and going to Boston? He's still rich beyond his, he'll never want for anything in his life or his kids or his grandkids. In fact, you could probably start, he could be the patriarch of a 1,000-year reign. Like the Duke of Marlborough will build Blenheim Palace and someday there'll be a Winston Churchill. I mean, when you're that rich, unless you squander it, you really can do something with it. There's no doubt. But like I said, let's deal with that when he's actually a free agent. At one point, they were throwing from the top of the double-decker buses real NBA balls, not just necklaces. And by the way, the necklaces, if you put one around your neck and you sweat, the colors would run. These colors don't run. Well, that's Old Glory. These cheap necklaces, oh, those colors ran. But, and people would kill you for a necklace. Jeez Louise. But someone, I think it was McCaw, he was in the Steph bus. The ball bounced into the crowd, and there was a frenzy for it. People panicked for their lives to get it. And somehow it got ejected from the crowd and it bounced directly to me. So I go to pick it up. I look up and I have never seen like 100 pairs of eyeballs, like piranhas with arms reaching up. Please give it to me. Give it to me. So what I did was I bounced it once like it was a free throw. I did a free throw into the crowd, and then I let man's humanity to man take over. It was sort of like those days at Candlestick whenever there was a home run over the chain link fence in left field, and you saw about 28-year-olds run out for it, and then there'd be a 16-year-old who would come in like a bulldozer and elbow everybody in the temple and then get the ball. That's basically what it was. So that frenzy was courtesy of moi. Sorry about that. I also saw two high school girls about that age jump the fence right in front of me and start walking. And I ain't no narc. I didn't say anything. It doesn't affect me. And I thought, wow, if they can get away with it, that's going to be pretty cool. And I thought they had. We got about two blocks, and then a cop's like, you two, out. And it's because you needed either a press pass or a wristband. But, I mean, they didn't go to the pokey. They could say they were in the parade for two blocks. I think that would be kind of fun, just a little bit. Also in the parade, they had all the trophies. They had the two, they had the trophies from Philly, and they had those in lowriders, the Impalas with the hydraulics. The second one, by the way, man, that thing, you talk about lowrider essay. That thing, when he jacked it up, jacked it down, I swear, I don't think I could put my hand under that car. It was the lowest lowrider I've ever seen, and I'm from Richmond, girl. It was a lowrider. That thing was, I don't have like an affinity for him, but I did think it was kind of cool in my own way. And the guy who was riding in the back, I don't know who were holding the trophies. I want to say they were like minority owners, guys who threw in like a mill or two. Back in the day, they got to hold them because they were guys I didn't recognize. But they were not ready for the hydraulics because they were sitting up on the back seat and they're like, here's the trophy from Phil. They're like, oh. It was almost like, you know, they were on the Matterhorn sitting backwards. What the hell? So that was cool. And then the car went by and there was Alvin Attles, one of my heroes. One of my idols, a player and then the coach and just an ambassador, one of the great gentlemen. And you talk about the face of the franchise. Well, right now that's Steph Curry. You talk about the face of the franchise since it's been in the Bay Area. It's Al Attles all the way. I just I love that guy and what he was able to do with that team. Remember, that was a sweep back in the day too, which was amazing. But just over the, just like I would listen to Al Attles read a phone book. I really would, because he's just a genius. Is that one way to put it? I think that's one way to put it. Also, when I was following the Steph bus, he went out and he got kind of cray with the people. And if you saw the interview on NBC Sports with Clint Azbuki, he was just saying, you know, it's my third time, and he's just saying, I wanna go a little ham, but it's funny when you look at when he would like run over two people, the looks on their faces, like if you can imagine, it's like their wildest dreams are coming true, because there's a million people on the route, and he's coming over to you, your group of 20 or whatever, and their eyes got so big, and I'm just telling you, it's just amazing, how much joy. That when you have that power to bring that kind of joy to people, and Steph realizes it, and he's very generous with that power, it's a really cool thing to see. All right, 888-957-9570. Brian is in San Leandro. You're on 95.7 again.
All right, check this out. This is a hot take, and you're going to hate me for it, but you got to listen to me. What?
I don't got to do Portland. Nothing. All right, go ahead.
No, listen. You got to listen to this.
By the way, I don't like hot take. If you have an opinion on something,
what if Portland offered Damian Lillard and McCollum for Stephon Curry right now? Do you think Joe Lacob would take that deal?
Well, I don't know who Stephon Curry is, but no, that would be a stupid deal to take. You already have a two-guard and a point guard. You have a unanimous MVP, a guy who's brought three trophies in 4 years. Why would you want to regress like that?
Right, so imagine this. Here's the real hot take, because of course you would never.
These aren't hot takes. These are bad opinions. It's not a hot take.
Check this out. What if LeBron James went to Portland and joined Jokic, McCollum, and Lillard? What do you think about that?
All right, well, they would be better. They're not going to win anything.
You don't think they would be, like, in the finals that quick?
No, I don't think so, Brian. But I appreciate the call. Thanks for taking the time. The farcical trade proposition is a staple in sports talk, by the way.
Hey, Tittle, what if we package Lou Trevino and Brett Anderson and Trevor Cahill for Bryce Harper? Come on, man. Rizzo would go for it.
I'm not trying to make fun of you. I appreciate that. Well, maybe I was trying to make fun of you. I appreciate the call. But why would you trade Steph Curry for the backcourt at Portland? And listen, those guys are great. I love Dame Lillard. I love Dame Judy Dench. I love Dame Edna. CJ McCollum's a good player. But why would you make your team worse? Why would you take this perfect recipe and then throw a giant bowl of hummus into it? I don't know. It just it doesn't make any sense to me. And listen, LeBron's not going to go to a city even more obscure than Portland. I just I don't see that. He's going to go to L.A. His son's going to go to a high school in L.A. He's got a house for his mom in L.A. He's got a house for himself in L.A. He wants to wear a jersey that says Lakers on it. It's not just about winning. Otherwise, he would go to Houston. He wants to play for the Lakers. That's what I think. You know, and you say, well, what about Philly? And like, well, yeah, you know, that's a good team. They're on the rise. They got a young talent, and you could, he's old enough to remember Dr. J. I think it's all about L.A. Let's go up to the Jelly Belly Factory in Fairfield. Brian, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up, man?
What you got, buddy?
Hey, I've heard rumblings of Klay Thompson, Draymond Green for Anthony Davis. What do you think?
I'm sorry you said that fast. What?
Klay Thompson and Draymond Green for Anthony Davis.
No, thanks.
No, thanks?
No, thanks. Would you do it?
I agree. I agree. I saw it on Bleacher Report probably about 6 months ago.
Yeah, that's just, you know what that is? That's just guys who are bored, or girls, whoever's writing those are. Those are just people who are bored, and they contrive that story just to get people talking about it. It's that's a garbage story.
Trying to make money. I agree. I love Klay Thompson. I love Draymond Green. Draymond Green's heart and soul of the team. Klay Thompson, anchor of the defense.
And listen, I love the unibrow. But you, as he said, let's say the Warriors got knocked out in the second round, I might have to sit down and think about that. The Warriors just swept the Eastern champion in the playoffs. Why would you change that when everyone's under contract? I don't get it.
Exactly. It's winning formula. Winning works.
Thank you for the call, Brian. I appreciate it. And by the way, the guy said I have to listen to his hot takes. I don't understand what a take is, first of all. You mean your opinion? When I was in Philly, I was doing my show there during the Army-Navy game, and this one guy was like, hey, man, that's a terrible take. It's a terrible take. I'm like, what? What's a take? You mean what I had to say? It's the other thing I hate is the word hater, which just means you differ in an opinion. You know, do you know what the word hate actually means?
You are a hater.
I remember when I saw Kaepernick in his very last college game. It was over here at AT&T Park for Reno, and he looks good. He ran for 4,000 and threw for 10,000 up there in Washoe County. I go, but it did look like, because he threw some worm burners, and I said he takes him a long time to throw. He really has to wind up like a pitcher. Which he was, by the way, down in Turlock. What, he hit 98 on the gun? The Cubs drafted him. But I remember I said it on this show here, 95.7, and someone's like, you're a Kaepernick hater, man. Hater's going to hate. You're a hater. I never said I hated him. I just said it takes him along. So for some reason, people don't understand that word. And the other one I have, since I'm into my pet peeves, is when people text in and they say should of, I'm never going to read it. I don't know what should of means. If you don't know how to spell should have, please don't text me. The grammar police are in. Whoop, whoop. 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com. Text line 95795. If you're wondering about Libby's Mad Max snail, it was in effect. And no offense to Libby, but the double entendre, the irony of a politician in a giant snail. We're going to get things done, and we're going to get things done lickety-split. Now let me get in my snail. But that, where do they, what do they do with the snail in between parades? What if you picked up on your date in a fire-spitting snail? I'd like to take you out to a lovely dinner, and I'll be by your house at 7:30. Oh, that sounds great. Come, 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 come. What's this? This is my ride, girl. You know it's a snail. Don't be jelly because it spits fire. And don't act like you ain't impressed when you is. From the 408, what nerve Libby has being out there on a float? Listen, I remember I thought it was kind of weird that the mayor of San Jose was on the float one year, and then someone's like, no, it's the Bay's team. Now, listen, you could say, what was the Alameda Board of Supervisors? Why did they have a float? Look, politicians, this is what they do, whether you like them or not, whether you voted for them or not, whether they're your party or not your party. This is what they do. Okay, and I'm not trying to pass judgment on anyone. Okay, I'm not trying to say anyone's a greaseball, but if there is a parade and there's success, they're gonna ride in the parade. That's just the way the world works. Let's go to Bob right here in town. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, I just want to shout out to the Warriors. It was a great final. I thought it was very fitting that they swept them. It wasn't very compelling after the third game, but. It was pretty cool. I mean, considering how rough they had it during the playoffs, and almost got knocked out by the Rockets. So that's my opinion on that. And since I still got you on the phone, what's your favorite Stanley Kubrick movie?
Oh, thank you very much for that. I got to go Clockwork Orange. Still banned in England. I remember I saw it when I was 18 in Germany. With German subtitles. I didn't have to read them, thankfully. I answered that because it's 11:47. Thanks for the call. 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com. Text line 95795. Hey, Rick. It's Ray from the 209. Driving home from A's game. You're driving home and you're texting? Do you think the Eagles would trade Bryce Harper for Klay Thompson and Steph Curry? Could this help the Sharks win the Stanley Cup? Thank you, Ray. I needed that. That was like another shot of Red Bull for me right there. My friend the other day was talking about, and actually I tweeted out this picture. I saw this shirt that said Carolina on it. Like, you know, Tar Heels, Carolina, and then underneath it said Cal, you know, written in the script, like the Cal helmets. And my friend said that he had one that said Champions of Winning Super, which was good. I remember when I was in Italy, and it was at a Benetton, which they fold. If they fold the shirts, then you got to pay an extra $10. But there was a Bengals helmet on it. A sideways view of the, you know, the tiger stripe Bengals, Cincinnati Bengals helmet. And under the helmet, it said, California Driving School. I think that one was my favorite. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Jaime, who's in San Pablo. What's up, man?
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What's up, buddy?
Well, as we know, you know, the U.S., I want to talk the World Cup. I know you like soccer, and I want to ask you, are you ready? You know, even though the U.S. is out in the World Cup, but are you excited, and who's your team to win it? You know, who do you see lifting that, you know, World Cup trophy at the end?
Thank you for the call, Jaime. I appreciate it. And since it's 10 to midnight, I think I can answer this without getting in trouble. First of all, I'm disgusted at my country for missing out. CONCACAF is a very small pond with two sharks, Mexico and us, you cannot contrive a way. And this isn't like Italy or Holland not qualifying in UEFA. You cannot fashion a way to not qualify. And when Bruce Arena said, I'd like to see these European teams get through CONCACAF, that made me throw up. And I actually had Omar Gonzalez on my syndicated show last week, and I asked him some tough questions, mostly about what's it like when everyone's disgusted with you. And he said, it's hard, but I move forward. You know, he answered him. But you know what? I'm not going to let the USA not being in this World Cup ruin it for me. Because when I was growing up, the USA wasn't in World Cups. So I rooted for my heritage, which was at that time West Germany, not just Germany, Denmark. One of my grandfathers was from Denmark. Moved to work at Hagstrom's Creamery in Oakland. In England. My mom's side is English since before the Revolutionary War. And so those are the teams I rooted for. Those are the teams I grew up loving, 82, 86. And then in 90, that college all-star team with Paul Caligiuri hitting the shot heard around the world down at Port-au-Prince. And got us to Italia 90, and Bob Gansler wouldn't take the Roy Wagerlies and the Hugo Perez's, and he only took this college all-star team, which is too bad. I worked the World Cup in 94, which was probably the best fortnight of my life. After that, started writing for European Soccer Weekly, which was a great thrill, based in London. Went there a lot. That was really cool. Now, to answer your question, we look at the favorites, and it's very easy to pick Germany. And the thing is, I still have to watch the games in Spanish because I remember the 82 World Cup final in Spain. That was the only game that was on American TV. It was on ABC, and it was called the Budweiser World Series of Soccer. Roger Twibel, the football announcer, did it with Kyle Rowe Jr., who was a USA international. But, you know, Roger Twibel, the ball went out of bounds. That's good, right? And he's like, well, not really. It's a corner kick. Corner kicks are good, right? And they took commercials. I mean, we've really come a long way since those days. So I had to listen to Tony Tirado, who would say, Dinamarca, and then Andres Cantor, Hasla gol! El ganador este partido entre Dinamarca y Alemania juego Inglaterra gratis ahora. And all the great commercials. Budweiser, auténtico como tú. Mira Canal 14 por la Copa Mundial. That whole deal. It was great. I got to meet Norberto Longo one time. He used to be the color man with Andres Cantor. And I mentioned the fact that in the consolation game of Italian 90, when David Platt scored for England against Italy, he actually said the S word on the air. And he laughed and he admitted it. Of course, Andres Cantor said, why are you featuring me? I'm on the other network, which is kind of weird. But I get emails every day from the USSF and I delete them. I'm disgusted. Not until we get to the next World Cup cycle. I don't want to see anything. I don't want to talk about Christian Pulisic. I don't want to talk about anything till we get to the next cycle. I'm not going to let it ruin things. But if you're looking for a dark horse, and if you're a real soccer aficionado, it's not really a dark horse, but the team that is just absolutely jammed with talent is Belgium. That would be my dark horse because they've never been in a final and they never won it. So if you want to lay down, if you'd like to have a punt, is it all right? Sorry. Do you go for the Belgians? Quite fancy them, don't I? Yes, Belgium would be the pick. All right. Thanks for tuning in, and it feels like a Saturday, doesn't it? What is it? It's a Tuesday? It's a Tuesday. If it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium. Ah, look how I wrap those two together. That's an old movie. 6 a.m., Joe Lowe and Dibs will talk parade as well. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll see you next time on 95.7 The Goat.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.